Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm Arun Venugopal in for Tanzina.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex.
Yes, people, let's talk about it. More specifically, sex during a pandemic. Even though many of us have largely stayed at home in recent months, that doesn't mean people have stopped seeking companionship. Here's the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, weighing in on the potential risks of meeting someone new in person.
You know, everybody has their own tolerance for risks, and it depends on the level of the interaction that you want to have. If you're looking for a friend, sit in a room, put a mask on, and, you know, chat a bit. If you want to go a little bit more intimate, well, then that's your choice regarding a risk.
That was Dr. Fauci speaking on Snapchat's Good Luck America back in April. We're also hearing from you about what the pandemic has meant for your sex lives at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Hi, my name is Amy. I'm calling from Ferndale, Washington. You want to know how the pandemic has affected my sex life? What sex life? The kids are home every gosh darn minute of the day.
This is Mark Mannheimer, and I'm calling from Bradford, Massachusetts. Ugh, what sex life? As I live alone and obviously cannot have any kind of intimate contact, that really does not exist for me now.
Calling from Anchorage, Alaska, we have a system worked out now where I'm working from home due to COVID-19 distancing. Our two kiddos are at a daycare or a grandparent's house for school, and my husband has been able to come home for lunch and dessert.
Hey, this is Diana from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and COVID has totally messed up our sex life. We have a 17-year-old. He knows what's going on, and he's home all the time.
Debbie in Fort Lauderdale. How has the pandemic affected my sex life? Well, being in fear of your health and financial well-being is not a turn-on. I'll never believe a steamy sex scene in a disaster movie again.
And with us today to continue this conversation is Lisa Bonos, who writes about dating and relationships for The Washington Post. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you've written about the etiquette of hooking up and how that's changed these past few months. Tell me about some of the main changes.
Yeah, well, like some of your callers just mentioned, a lot of people aren't seeing new partners right now. There's a lot of isolation, but some people are out there dating and just asking a lot of questions about their potential partners' lives right now. Who are you quarantining with? How strict is that? Are you wearing a mask when you're out? Things like that.
And these are the kinds of questions that perhaps in a previous era might have been seen as like just completely, you know, the kinds of things you would not talk about if you want to flirt with someone or, you know, or take it any further, correct?
For sure, for sure.
We're talking about this at the same time you've described this term of sex recession happening more broadly, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so big surveys in 2019 found that especially young people, 18 to 29, about a quarter of them hadn't had sex in the past year. You know, we're already going before the pandemic, a lot of people were not getting intimate that often. And now you have these extra difficulties. So a lot of people are experiencing even more celibacy or more extreme celibacy.
So how are people actually meeting their potential hookup partners during the pandemic, given all these restrictions?
Yeah. Well, I spoke to a 25-year-old man who actually met someone on a Zoom happy hour. He describes it to me as like, I thought this one square was cute, you know, and later finds out that she's a friend of a friend and started texting with her. But people are also meeting on dating apps. Dating apps are reporting larger traffic numbers, that more people are on there. Friends are introducing friends to one another. Yesterday, I heard from a woman who's starting she's a normal person, not a professional matchmaker. And she started a pool where she sets people up for phone calls all over the country or even the world. And she's been doing that for 600 people recently.
Do you think that as this goes on and on, that's perhaps changing people's willingness to just take risks?
Yes. I mean, I think, you know, is carrying on a conversation with someone long distance, is that a risk or is that being safe? You know, I think our notion of what a risk is right now is changing. You know, some young people that I spoke to for my reporting have said because they're so stressed out and so lonely and the isolation is so extreme, they're more willing to take a risk physically because they just really want to connect with someone. So seeing things all over the board.
I mean, some of this feels very new. At the same time, if you look back at, say, life in the 80s, especially if you're, gay or lesbian, LGBTQ community has a much longer sort of history of kind of like thinking through some of these issues. Are you seeing different dimensions of this when it comes to members of the LGBTQ community?
Yeah. Well, when I speak to LGBTQ daters, they often talk about already having these really personal conversations about what your health is like before getting physical, right? That gay daters on dating apps will ask, like, when was the last time you were tested for sexually transmitted infections? Or are you taking PrEP, you know, the prophylactic drug to prevent HIV infection? And so a lot of daters are already used to having these really intense personal conversations. And so just to add on top of that, like, hey, how have you been quarantining? You know, what's your pod like? Is just a natural extension of that.
I mean, a lot of this has to do with just the basic stress, economic stress, right? And health risks. And I mean, you know, the basic health risk of whether or not we're going to get sick on any given day. I mean, that does a lot to just the issue of desire, doesn't it?
For sure. When I spoke to a sexuality researcher at the Kinsey Institute, he talked about how these are such anxious times and, you know, very stressful, and people are worried about their livelihoods, and that definitely tamps down desire. And so you get that in couples and for singles.
Before we go, I mean, one of the things that this seems to have opened up is just the fact that a lot of people are alone. They're by themselves. They have to figure out just how to find pleasure on their own. I mean, the New York City Department of Health somewhat famously released a list of safe sex practices this spring, leading with the line, quote, you are your safest sex partner. So do you see a lot more people talking openly about masturbation?
You do see that. You also see people trying forms of virtual intimacy for the first time. I speak to daters who talk about, you know, trying sexting for the first time or cyber sex, and there's all kinds of ways to try that out. So some people are, you know, and that is the safest sex you can have as well.
That's right. And I guess some people are actually discovering that perhaps there is romance to be found in the cold grid of a Zoom conversation. So, you know, I'm curious about something you've written about, which is the velocity of relationships during COVID-19. How has that changed?
Yeah, well, some singles are spending several weeks or months getting to know someone over the phone or video chat before meeting in person, or they're going on socially distant dates and not going into each other's apartments for several dates. And it's really made people get to know each other better before either meeting up in person or getting physical with each other.
And some people you've spoken to, I mean, experts, think that this is a good thing. This is a healthier thing.
Yeah, no, experts often mention the fact that people are getting to know each other at a deeper level is helping those singles form stronger connections, which before, if you've ever been on a dating app, you know, you have to make decisions within seconds whether to swipe right or left to discard someone or say yes. And then those quick decisions were also translated into first dates, but not a lot of second dates, or quick messages and not meeting up in person. So when it's harder to make these connections, people are spending more time with each connection that they do have, trying to really get to know the person before saying yes or no.
Do you think most of these things are just temporary and last only as long as this pandemic lasts? Or do you think some of these are what we're seeing, some potentially long-lasting changes to people's relationships and sex lives in this country?
Yeah, it's really hard to know, but I hope that at least that notion of getting to know someone on a deeper level before deciding whether or not to pursue a relationship with them, I hope that one sticks, and that, because the daters that I'm speaking to really are finding utility in that, in getting to know each other. I mean, it is also frustrating sometimes, to, especially if people are quarantining far away from each other, or they're, you know, staying with older relatives or lots of roommates. There's definitely some frustration right now, but I'm hoping that there's some good things that come out of this that do stick.
I mean, I guess, do you think that people who might have not been in a relationship for a while are deciding now that they've been too picky, that they need to, like, be a little more accommodating, if you will? I mean, I feel like I'm using all these, like, you know, old man terms, you know, but I mean, this is an ongoing conversation about, like, you know, when do you settle? When do you just have to, you know, make compromises? And is this, do you think, a moment when these kinds of issues are really being brought out?
They are. It's hard to say whether that will stick as well. But, you know, one couple that stands out to me is, I have been talking to this couple where the woman hadn't been in a relationship for over a decade, and she struck up a phone conversation relationship with someone 3,000 miles away, and they got so close that she drove across the country from New York to California to pick up and meet her new boyfriend for the first time and bring him back with her to New York. And now they've been quarantining together for months, and that was the only way they could see each other. He couldn't just hop on a plane for a weekend, right? They had to make this big decision: are we doing this, or are we not? And they decided they were doing it. So, you know, just as many daters are deciding, I'm gonna sit this one out, I'll wait until the pandemic is over. So
I mean, that's a kind of like old-fashioned, almost antiquated idea of romance you kind of forgot existed anymore, it seems like.
Exactly, and we're still capable of it, apparently.
Apparently, yeah. Lisa Bonos writes about dating and relationships for The Washington Post. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
This is Chris from Richmond, California. My wife and I got pregnant on the second week of the shelter-in-place order, and now we know about six other couples that are in the same situation.
Hi, this is Liz from Florida. I'm hearing so many stories about people having so much sex all the time on quarantine, and that's just not my experience. The stress and anxiety and depression that has come with this experience has wreaked havoc on mine and my partner's libidos. We haven't had sex in months.
This is Mark Mannheimer, and I'm calling from Bradford, Massachusetts. Ugh, what sex life? As I live alone and obviously cannot have any kind of intimate contact, that really does not exist for me now. I, in essence, do not have a sex life.
Hi, this is Leah from Somerset. As far as the pandemic affecting my sex life, at the beginning of the pandemic, I had sex a lot more out of boredom and because we were stuck at home together and had lots of time. But as it has dragged on, our underlying stress and anxiety have increased, and we have become less intimate less often.
Hi, this is John Abbott calling from Hopewell, New Jersey. My significant other lives an hour's drive away, which never bothered us over the past 3.5 years. While we do miss each other on every level, we also recognize the importance of intimacy. But we agreed that intimacy is always worth the wait and not worth the risk of a potentially fatal illness.
This is The Takeaway. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE to comment on any story or give us your thoughts on any topic. Also, we're on Facebook and Twitter at The Takeaway. Let us know what you think, and thanks for listening.